Plakas joins us once again. Plakas, how are you doing?
Greg, I'm doing fantastic, thanks.
Today I want to have strategies for intense, short workouts, right? Now, I know that can depend on whether your purpose is just general overall fitness, or maybe you want to work on a certain body part for short ones, but because sometimes people might not have a full hour to get into it. But, you know, what are the benefits of some short, intense workouts that people can do?
Yes, so that's the beauty of these workouts, is that the research shows that, you know, 20 minutes of, if you keep intensity level high, is more than equivalent to an hour of a little bit less intensity. Because generally, human beings have a limited source of resources for energy to do work. So the longer you go, the more you have to pace yourself to last that duration. The shorter you go, then you can afford to really work that higher end of your either aerobic power or your muscular strength, that kind of thing. And that's where really all the best gains are achieved. Even endurance athletes are noticing great improvements for their endurance activity just from doing really short, intense workouts. So an example could certainly be, like, if you are for example, a cyclist, and you don't have time to go out for your 3 to 4 hour long ride on the Sunday with everybody else because of whatever family commitments, then you can simply go to your bike trainer downstairs and set up these really intense intervals. What you could do is go 30 seconds at the highest wattage you can hold and pound it out on the bike, like at a high intensity level where you're working like a 10 out of 10 effort level, recover for a period of time depending on your fitness level, and then repeat over and over again for up to 20 minutes. And that would be like an incredibly great workout, and probably maybe even more so depending on who you're riding with for 3 hours on a weekend.
Now you say to keep the intensity up. So are we talking like super setting thing, going from one exercise, like maybe you do, you know, 10 push-ups right away, and then you jump into a barbell, if you want, just single arm barbells, and do other things, super setting. Is that what you're talking about for 20 minute intense?
Yeah, and that's another thing. If you're looking at resistance training, where your goal is to try to build muscular strength, or muscular hypertrophy, gaining muscular size in different parts of your body, you know, that's a good way to do it too. Like if you only got 20 minutes, you could take exercises of different muscle groups. Because if you do, or you could do the same muscle group, but the problem is that you get fatigued faster. If you did, for example, like a set of jump squats as one exercise, and then afterwards you did a set of clapping push-ups as a second exercise, followed by a third exercise, say, for example, chin-ups, you're then going from different muscle groups, and you can transition from one exercise to the other, no problem, without recovery. It becomes a little trickier if you're doing something like a jump squat, and then you're doing sort of like a jump, lunge, jump, that kind of thing, and then maybe some heavy step-ups. There you're working the same muscular group with your quads, your hamstrings, and your hips, and you're going to get very localized fatigue. If you desire that, that's great. You won't get as much of a metabolic effect because your heart rate will get up quickly, but your muscles are going to tire out faster than your cardiovascular system is going to. So it depends kind of what you want to get done.
So when you mention your muscles will tire out before your cardio, is that beneficial, or what's the concern with that?
Your goal is to, you know, work your higher end aerobic power, and you're trying to sustain it. For example, say you're trying to run a 5K race or a 10K race, you don't want to do a lot of stuff where you're getting localized muscular fatigue, because your heart and lungs are not going to be required to sustain a level of specific to the race that you're running. So what you have to be careful of is, if your goal is strength in your legs, power in your legs, great. If your goal is to run maybe a 5K race, maybe you want to focus on the heart and lung system as well as the legs as well. So you don't want to do too much of one thing, because it's going to deter you from training the other part of it. Because if you get muscle fatigue, that's what's going to be the limiting factor for you to continuing on. A good example, you're going to get more of that as an example in the upper body. If you're trying to do like a chest exercise followed by another chest exercise and a shoulder exercise, you're going to get very, very tired in those areas. So a lot of localized fatigue. If you're then required to maybe go do punching on a bag, for example, you're not going to be very efficient with your punches. You're going to be kind of sloppy. Your technique might not be very good. So you got to be careful. If you get too much localized fatigue, how is that going to affect you in the desired activity you're trying to train for.
At some point, though, you have to push yourself, right, to see how your body can react to it, like especially if you're a boxer or an MMA guy or even like in hockey, sometimes you have to work through being able to be effective while you're fatigued.
Yeah, that's true, too. So the key, though, is that you're trying to maintain perfect, optimal technique. There's no sense in if you're using punching a bag as an example, to completely exhaust the muscles that are required for punching, and then all you can manage is sloppy punching technique. So if your technique suffers because of localized muscular fatigue, maybe you're not in shape for the routine that you're doing, because you want to recruit the muscle fibers in the sequence and the efficiency that's specific to whatever sport you're trying to do. If you can't maintain that technique, you need more recovery time, or maybe you should focus on working that technique before you get too tired.
Paul Blackis from Custom Fit joins us. You mentioned the upper body will fatigue quicker than the lower body. Obviously, there's bigger muscles in everybody's legs.
Right.
And now, I know a lot of just squat jumping fatigues people quicker than they think. Right, that all of a sudden, if you want to do 20 squat jumps and then go do something else, you'll be amazed at how tired you are. You know, any sort of plyometrics with your legs, is that the best way to, if you've got a short period of time, is that the best way to improve your legs?
It's a very efficient way, but you have to be cautious. Like, you take somebody who's got a desk job, who doesn't exercise very much, coming from the couch, 20 squat jumps, they're going to vomit and puke their brains out just from the one set. And I've seen it many times before, some trainers maybe pushing somebody a little bit too hard too soon just to make sure that that person's getting a good workout and it's not an appropriate movement or intensity level for that person. You see it also on shows like The Biggest Loser all the time. It dumbfounds me that you get these 300-400-pound people, they get them into the gym for the first time, and the trainers are trying to see what they can take day one. Like, they got them falling off a treadmill because the intensity is too high. They're doing jumping jacks and plyometrics day one. Like, there's a certain level of progression that's important, because you don't want to deter somebody from doing another workout. Like, you want them to succeed. You want to make sure the technique is good. You want to make sure you're not getting injured, just so that the person comes back again, because just you do one workout and they never do it again, what's the point? So jump squats are good, but only if you're in shape to do them.
And
if you have no injuries or orthopedic limitations.
What is your favorite intense short workout?
Well, you know what? Since it's nice outside right now, I'm a big fan of stair workouts. We've got an incredible River Valley. There's stairs everywhere in the River Valley. Some are steep and long. Some are a little bit shorter, not as steep. And what you can do is, it's good for all levels of fitness. You can walk some steps if you're just starting out and then take breaks. You can try jogging them up one at a time. If you're in better shape, you can try jogging them two at a time. Even if you're in exceptional shape, you can try jumping the steps with two legs, one leg, sprints up them. I've seen people with bungee cords attached to them where they're dragging their buddies up there. You can do whatever you want, but it's nice to be outside. Incredible anaerobic cardio work. Great for leg power, strength, and endurance, depending on how you do them. Plus, you're outside enjoying the fresh air. And plus, there's usually some really hot girls at lunchtime doing them, so you can chat up a little conversation. The ones at the Glenora Club, all the girls from downtown go there. So, yeah, you want to go there around noon hour during the week.
Oh, well,
the boys out there.
Majot is suddenly going to be running stairs starting tomorrow at noon hour. That's good.
Absolutely.
Love it. We'll set him out on a competition. That'll be fun. Yeah. All right, Paul, appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks. Have a good day.